Rhea, thank you so much for joining me at WMUK.
Thank you for having me, Kara.
And may I say welcome to Kalamazoo in West Michigan. We're so glad to have a musician of your caliber here among us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure experiencing Kalamazoo and making it my new home.
Well, since you are new to the area and new to WMUK's listeners, maybe you can start at the beginning and tell me a little about your growing up and becoming a musician.
Well, I come from a family of musicians. I grew up listening to my grandfather sing the greats by Nat King Cole and Mario Lanza. He was quite a popular tenor in his day. And I grew up in the Caribbean in an island called Dominica and have fond memories of washing clothes with my mom, doing laundry in the backyard and singing very often. And I also have an aunt who sings professionally. She sings Caribbean music called Zouk and Cadence in the Caribbean right now. Her name is Ophelia Olivache Marie. So I grew up hearing a lot of music, a lot of calypso, a lot of reggae. And I fell in love with singing and knew that I wanted to choose it as a career. And I came to the United States for a formal education in music and fell in love with classical music. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved opera and decided that that was the route I wanted to take. So I found myself, after I completed my undergraduate degree at Florida International University, I got a scholarship to come to University of Michigan, where I completed my master's and finished my doctorate in 2010. And I've been loving the Michigan area ever since, even though the winters can be quite challenging.
This is true.
Yes.
So you found that you loved classical music, and I find that certainly sets people of your generation apart. We have so much access to different kinds of music, and mm-hmm. most people with musical aspirations want to do more of the popular styles. And
that is true. And I actually pursued that for quite a while at the same time that I pursued classical music, kind of finding my voice as a singer. And I also wrote a few songs back in those days. But ultimately, the poetry and the storytelling of opera really caught my heart, and I decided to give my full attention to that. So I do occasionally still listen to pop music. I listen to it on the radio. I still sing along to it. But my love will always be for classical music in terms of performing it.
Well, you're also fortunate in having a voice that can do opera.
That is true. I've worked really hard to find that sound. I didn't know what my voice sounded like as a classical musician until maybe my second year as an undergraduate student. So, that is different.
It's true of voice students pursuing opera that their voices really need to be nurtured and cared for. And teachers play a major role in this, in choosing repertoire and just guiding their students. And did you find some good guides along the way?
I sure did. I learned a lot of my music by ear in the Caribbean because I didn't have any formal musical training. So I learned a lot from my aunt. I sang every week in church with a youth choir in my village called Point Michel. And I also would occasionally sing at Mass at 7 o'clock in the morning with my grandfather with his adult choir. So having those folks there to guide me was very helpful. My teachers, once I came to the States, were also very nurturing, very supportive. And they really supported me through what I felt were my challenges or the things that I lacked in terms of a formal musical education to really build my skills, my oral skills, my theory skills, so that I had confidence to go through and really sing with my full voice and not worry about any shortcomings or feeling behind.
Right. So you have to do a lot of extra work.
That is true. So
to find that confidence, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And there's all the language considerations where you're half of the repertoire is in Italian or German.
Or some language that we don't speak. That is really true. And that posed a bit of a challenge for me. I think my having a good ear for music also helped me to have a good ear for language. And actually studying those languages helped me to get a better understanding of how special it is to have, to hear something in its original form, the language that it was written in, and to really hear the dramatic intent of the poet or the librettist who wrote it.
Tell me about a role in an opera that you worked really hard for and helped you gain confidence as an opera singer.
Wow, I've had the opportunity to work on about 5 major roles in my career, and I think one of my favorites was when I performed Tatiana in Eugene Onegin by Tchaikovsky, and that was in its original language, which is Russian.
Wow.
At University of Michigan, and that was a huge undertaking in terms of combing through the language and being true to it. I mean, even though it's very unlikely that you're going to have a Russian speaker in the audience, kind of holding you accountable, U of M held us very accountable for being true to the language and true to the art form. And it was a really rewarding experience to go through the coachings and to hear the drama in the language, to hear the emotion in different parts of the language that really made the opera beautiful. And it was a lot of work. And about a week before, actually a few weeks before that performance, I felt so sick. As luck would have it, you know, before a big performance, sometimes that happens. And I was on vocal rest for quite a bit, really up until my performance. And I trusted my training, and it was one of the most memorable experiences to get out there and to sing in Russian with that beautiful music, and the music from the orchestra really supporting that performance on stage. And overcoming that, the challenge of being sick, the challenge of dealing with the language that I had never studied before, it was so rewarding. The emotional journey that character had to undergo was also a huge challenge for me. Tatiana starts off as a country girl who loves books and loves all things romantic. She falls in love with a very dapper young man, and he at first does not return her affections, and she is crushed by this. And she goes on to become the wife of a very important general. And her love, or the guy that she loved before, finds her and loves her now. And
of course.
And towards the end, he decides that he wants to win her back, and she has to choose her present life, her husband who loves her with everything that he has, and to remain faithful to him. So really the emotional tugging of the past love versus the new love was very challenging to bring across when you have so many different things to think about, like the language and your fellow castmates and the fact that you, a couple days before, couldn't sing a note and that kind of thing. But in the end, it was really just a life-changing experience.
When you see opera at the Met or something like that, and the stars, they make it look so easy. I mean, the notes, the singing is obviously just stratospherically difficult, but they make the character, the movements, and their emotions, along with the singing, look just so natural to them.
And that that comes with practice. I will say, to a certain degree, it feels easy, but only because you've put in so much work before. So the amount of work that you have to put in to get to that point, the real intense knowledge of every single word that you're saying, every single syllable has to be placed in your voice so that you can project it in a healthy way over an orchestra and still communicate the emotion and still be able to be understood by somebody who may be a native speaker in the audience. But all that has to happen kind of with muscle memory. You can't be thinking about all those different details while you're performing. So all the work that's done in terms of preparation leads up to that point where you get on stage and you can actually enjoy going through the emotions that you associate with various parts of the drama as a character. And then you can really get into interacting with your castmates, and you can tell a beautiful story that is just a little bit different every time. And the magic, the art, really happens in the moment during those 3 hours, and it will never be captured in that same way again. So in that aspect, it is quote unquote easy, but only after all that hard work is done.
Rhea, this is a good point to make a comparison between the 3-hour opera on one story to the song recital, where the advantage might be that you have mini scenes. You can enact different characters and poetry and emotions by choosing a well-researched or well-considered program.
That is true. In some ways, for me, a recital can be more challenging, especially when you're choosing your own music. I tend to choose music that is very difficult and sometimes have to reevaluate exactly how much difficult singing I want to do on a recital, because there's so many pieces of beautiful music out there that I want to learn. And it also, I think life just kind of guides you through. You get drawn to various types of poetry based on what's going on in your life or what you see your friends or your family experiencing. Sometimes that ends up affecting what choices you make or what you're drawn to. But I chose a collection of songs by composers that I love. I love Richard Strauss. He was my very first German composer. And his choice of the way in which he writes just really captures so much emotion to me. And I love how how the piano parts, the piano accompaniment of his writing really reflects the emotion of the vocal line. And so it doesn't feel so much that the accompanist is your backup music. It sounds like it's a real collaboration.
Well, in this case, Strauss himself was married to a soprano?
He sure was. So, and he knew how to write for that soprano voice like no other composer to me. And he is my absolute favorite German composer.
So you've chosen a selection of songs by Richard Strauss.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious about the Italian songs that begin the program by Gaetano Donizetti, who was an opera composer, of course. But there are lots of his songs that just aren't performed very often. But they're
familiar. That is true. I think he's much better known as an opera composer. But through my research, actually, more as a teacher here at Western, I don't always get the chance or feel that it's fair to assign operatic material to some of my younger singers. You know, we were kind of talking about how teachers have to be very careful with how they assign repertoire to their students and really nurturing those younger voices. I still get to teach students that are right out of high school and starting college, and their voices are still growing. And I wanted to find music that would challenge them, but not quite be as challenging as an operatic aria. Right? So I started really digging through some of Donizetti's works. And he's a bel canto composer, and that kind of music is very helpful in teaching younger voices. And I thought, I came across some very beautiful songs that were very expressive and were great for teaching, but I found myself singing them all the time. So this was a great opportunity to really pick a few that were very close to my heart and to make a little set to share on this recital.
It's a well-chosen composer for a program that's called The Many Facets of Love, because this must be love poetry here.
Yes. So all love poetry, Amor Marinaro kind of talks about a sailor wooing a young lady that he loves. L'Amor Funesto talks about lost love after being in love with someone who at first seemed like they were on the same page with you, and then suddenly you realize that you're in a different, very different place, that you really progressed to a place where you were very much in love with them, and they said that they loved you, but it wasn't true. And then Amiamo is a very happy and buoyant song, and it's inviting young people to take advantage of the fact that they're young, and our youth invites us to love, and to love freely and unabashedly, and to really embrace that part of themselves.
This really sounds like you know, pop music of the early 19th century.
It really is. It's quite enjoyable. It's really fun to sing. And I think that there's something to love in each and every one of them. Yeah.
You have an accompanist, Gunther Laukmana, who
yes.
is a very well-established pianist here in West Michigan, and she accompanies voice quite a lot. So
she sure does, and it's been really great working with her because of her knowledge of the repertoire and of the collaborative experience between a singer and a pianist. So she's a very supportive pianist. She also is very frank, which I love. She'll give me very direct feedback that I can work with. And so it's been a really enjoyable experience, really collaborating with her on this program. We've both had a lot of fun rehearsing it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Here at the end of the first half of the program is a song I do know, this jewel song from Faust by Charles Gounod.
Mm-hmm. Well, since opera is one of my very first loves, I really had to throw in a few arias that I loved and have always loved. This is actually a role I have not gotten to perform yet, and I would love to do that in an opera someday. Margarita, and it's this from the story of Faust by Goethe. And Charles Gounod set this, has a setting of this story by Faust. And in the jewel scene, I'm doing the entire scene where Margarita finds a little box of jewels and is very surprised by this and decides that she will venture to open it to see what's in there. And she is just overwhelmed with feelings of excitement and has never seen jewels like this before and proceeds to try them on and really feels beautiful and at the same time wonders what it would be like if Faust could see her looking like the daughter of a king. So that quintessential moment where a girl gets dressed up and feels pretty for the first time, feels very much like a grown-up.
Gosh, I hope you do have a chance to preface your singing with some of these descriptions.
I plan to chat a little bit. I'll try not to go into too much detail. I do tend to speak a lot about things that I am passionate about, but I do want to share a bit of detail about all these, the various sets and the scenes that I'll be presenting, because I think it'll give my audience a better understanding and they won't have to look at their translations every 5 minutes to know what I'm singing. I think it helps, and it helps to really establish a relationship with my audience. So I definitely will be talking a bit between sets.
Well, if you've just tuned in, my guest is Ria Olivace, who is a soprano who giving a recital for the Kalamazoo Bach Festival this Sunday at 4 o'clock at Kalamazoo College in the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building. And more information is online at the Kalamazoo Bach Festival website. Ria, you've mentioned bel canto, and I see in your biography it says lyric soprano. I don't know the first thing about these categories. So could you give me some remedial music definitions with what a lyric soprano is and the kind of roles that you can go for?
Well, the word lyric, as it's attached to my voice part, which is a soprano, is something that places me in a very specific Fach, what the Germans would call a category of soprano. So there are a lot of different sopranos out there, but for each of us, there is music that would lend itself to hearing the best parts of our voice and the things that our voices can do the best. So coloratura sopranos, they have great flexibility. They usually have very high ranges, up past high C, sometimes even to Fs and Gs. And they normally sing roles that would be the younger daughter, the little girl, the very young maiden. And a lyric soprano has a fuller voice, really soars when singing very long phrases. It has a good amount of warmth to it, and they normally play the love interests in a lot of romantic operas especially. So as a lyric soprano, I have sung the role of Mimi in La Bohème. Let's see, I've also sung the Countess in Mozart. As I mentioned before, Tatiana in Eugene Onegin, any of Puccini's operas. I would sing Liu, that was written by Puccini as well. I could also sing Margarita by Faust, Massenet's Manon, maybe Puccini's Manon for sure. But these heroines normally play the love interest in the opera.
Okay. Well, that's a great explanation for me.
Great.
is there also, I think you said in lyric sopranos can be associated with kind of the big romantic operas of the 19th century. Is that primarily?
Yes, certainly. So any of Puccini's heroines, and some of his music can get a little heavy. Like the role of Turandot, I could not sing. That would be quite heavy for me, at least at my age right now. And even in my early 30s, there is certain music that I know that I should not quite venture into singing yet because my voice is still growing as an operatic performer.
Wow.
This is one of those careers where you really have to get to the back end and keep faithful to it and keep trying and working on your craft so that as you get into the ripe age for your voice, you're at your prime and everything fits.
Do you have someone you can trust and consult with about all of these considerations?
I certainly do. My voice teacher is Dean Daniel Washington. I've worked with him a bit at my time at University of Michigan, and I check in with him as often as I can.
Yeah.
About staying vocally healthy. I really trust his opinion, and I trust his ears. And he knows my voice very well, and I can always turn to him for recommendations. I have a few older voice teachers who know my voice very well and have kind of heard my growth, who also make suggestions and whose opinions I appreciate and take into consideration when I'm considering the next thing that I should sing and how I should approach things.
Are you able to practice at home?
That's a very good question. I live in an apartment, and I try my best not to practice at home because I'm trying to be considerate of my neighbors. But sometimes I have to admit that I do not have a choice but to practice at home. I haven't heard any complaints yet, thankfully. I'm hoping that's a good sign. Sometimes it's just unavoidable because of the nature of my the nature of the business. I teach part-time. I have to travel for work sometimes. I have to perform. And while my schedule takes me in different directions, virtually every minute of my day is scheduled from the time I wake up through to 9 o'clock, be it in my role as a singer, a teacher, a husband, a wife, excuse me, or a mom. So time management is essential in this career. So I have to take advantage of sometimes practicing at home.
Well, in that case, we should move on and look at the second half of the program.
Of course.
I have very little experience with most of the names of the composers on the second half of the program. So tell me how you found them and picked them out.
Well, that was absolutely intentional. And a lot of these composers are American composers. Well, Kirk Mitchum, he wrote the opera Tartuffe. And I just love this very fun aria called Fair Robin I Love, where the maid is talking to Marianne. And you'll hear me address her in the recital. And she's speaking to Marianne and saying, you know, you should really perk up. Don't worry about this guy that you're thinking about so much. And you should just, when you're together, you should love. And when you're apart, you should just forget about each other and keep things light. So that will lighten up the heaviness, I think, that could have become the general overtone of the recital. And Good Morning Midnight is my favorite setting of Emily Dickinson's poem. And it's by a composer, Logan Skelton, and he's actually on the piano staff at University of Michigan.
Oh, wonderful.
And I had the chance to sing this with one of his students on a recital, and it has since become my very favorite setting of the poem. And the poem Good Morning Midnight generally talks about, again, lost love, about having chosen day instead of midnight, and asking midnight to give her a chance. Richard Hundley, this is a favorite song. His setting of Come Ready and See Me is a favorite song of very young singers. But I think it's very sincere There's nothing pretentious about the text, which is what I love the most about it. And it's very genuine and sweet. Very simple, almost folk-like melody there. And the next composer, Michael Lochner, it was a very big treat for me to find this composer. He is actually a student of WMU. He's pursuing his degree in music therapy and dabbles in composition. And he wrote this song for a friend of his. It is set to René Rilke's poem, that's a German poet, and it is called I Am, O Anxious One. And I stumbled across this, I heard it in an area recital, and fell in love with it. I asked him if I could sing it on this recital, and he agreed. I'm so happy to get the chance to share it, and I actually got the chance to speak with him some about his process of composing it and what he heard himself as he got to compose it. And that's always a very special treat to have that kind of rapport with the person who actually wrote the music, who brought it to life, and who got the text and heard these sounds and put it to paper. Composing to me is amazing. So
it sounds like you're very grateful, but I would think the composer is even more grateful.
He's very gracious and very sweet about letting me sing his song. Oh. And very flexible.
He'd be thrilled with
my take on my interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. So, which is not always the case for some composers.
Let's see. Up next is Since You Went Away. That looks like Old English or something.
Yes, actually, as opposed to it being so much Old English, this is a bit of dialect. The composer is H. Leslie Adams, and he is one of my absolute favorite African-American composers. It is from his set of music for high voice called The Night Songs. And this song, as you can tell, it's rather somber and reflective of or upon somebody who's gone, somebody that you've loved very much. So a different aspect of love, a kind of love that could be romantic or love of a parent, love of somebody, anybody who was very close to you, who is no longer living. And also one of those songs that really, I think, encapsulate what I love the most about a lot of American music. It's sincerity, it's loyalty, and honesty that I find being a general theme across a lot of American music.
Gunta Laukmana, even though she's a very experienced accompanist, many of these pieces must be new to her as well.
That is very true.
What does she say?
Well, I think she enjoyed very much just finding some new music. Music that's a little bit more off the beaten path, and also songs that she could suggest to other singers who maybe ask her for ideas for an English song. So she's expressed a lot of that she's had a lot of fun kind of working through it. And I think actually this one is one of her favorites, the Leslie Adams.
And finally, you have a song called Amor by a composer that we in Michigan should celebrate even more often, William Bolcom.
Yes, and I got a chance to work with him a little bit at University of Michigan as well. This, I think, is one of his most popular pieces, and I thought would be a perfect light ending to the evening about Amor, this young lady who gets called Amor everywhere she goes. People stop whatever they're doing and give her all of their attention because she's so beautiful.
And again, here we have a composer who performs with his wife who is a singer.
Yeah, so we have a recurring theme there.
A little bit, perhaps. Well, that covers this recital, which again is Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building at Kalamazoo College. And Rhea, before you go, what is coming up? What are some of the other opportunities that we might have to see you in the next few months or so?
Well, I do have a couple other gigs coming up. I will be an associate artist with Opera Western Reserve. Actually, right after this recital, I'll be in Youngstown, Ohio, working on a production of La Boheme. Oh. And also doing some concerts there. And following that, I will be performing with the Kalamazoo Philharmonic, also at the Dalton Theater at the Music School at Kalamazoo College, with Andrew Kohler, performing Strauss's Four Last Songs. And that has been, oh my goodness, an absolute treat for me. I've always wanted the opportunity to do it with orchestra. And when the maestro approached me, I jumped at the opportunity, and I've been having a lot of fun working with him on it. And they already sound beautiful. I've had a chance to rehearse a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it, to all of the exciting things going on this fall. I feel really fortunate and blessed to have a chance to do what I love doing, singing and teaching.
Rhea, it's been so nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.